This is Jake Sticca, Executive Director and co-founder of Next Gen Men. I co-founded the organization with my friends Jamal and Jason because we wanted better for the next generation of men. We wanted boys to believe the best in themselves and their peers. We wanted them to have the wherewithal to ask for help when they need it. And we wanted them to come of age shedding the culture of competition and domination they inherited from generations of men prior. Little did we know that our efforts would lead us to becoming one of Canada's top organizations changing the face of what it means to be a man. By leading community conversations around gender and masculinity, both in person and online, challenging male-dominated corporate cultures across tech, energy, construction, and more, as well as bringing together a podcast network across the Americas. When you join Next Gen Men, you give us the support we need to create spaces to engage, educate, and empower boys and men around gender and equality. If you're already a Next Gen member, thank you. If you're not, join us at nextgenmen.ca/join.
When I was 10 or 12, all I would do is watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I sorely wanted to be Michelangelo, but I knew I wasn't that cool. I would have settled for Donatello.
Nah, it's just not you.
Then I went to high school, and I got into two things. Watching a crap load of soccer. And listening to a lot of rap.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Especially NWA's Straight Outta Compton. Even though I wasn't from Compton or knew nothing about gang life or whatever that was, when I listened to some of those songs, I felt like the baddest mofo in the world. And I wasn't alone either. Them, Tupac, Biggie, and later Puff Daddy, Dr. Dre, became the soundtrack of my youth. But I grew up. And when I say I grew up, I started watching quote-unquote grown-up movies. My friends took me to see this little indie movie in a movie theater when I think with five other people in it.
Gentlemen.
And we watched Fight Club.
Welcome to Fight Club.
Now that movie, for a long, long time, was my favorite movie in the world. It spoke to me in ways that I couldn't even explain.
First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
Exposed to the cynic in me, the one who wanted to be tough, the one who wanted to look like Brad Pitt, you know, those big ass abs, you know, pants hanging low, spiked hair, and most importantly, with a black eye. Because I also wanted to be the one who did not give a damn.
Second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
I dated later than my fellow teenagers. I was a shy kid. And as much as I wanted to land at Sweet Honey, like Vince Vaughn would say in Swingers.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
I was never good at it. I talked to a lot of my friends about it, and they said I was quote-unquote too nice. They all thought the way to land a girlfriend was to be a badass, and kind of like Vince. And this is what I thought was to be a guy. All of these things. But so much more. If I could master all of these things, I would be a cool guy. I'd be a cool man. A badass man. A tough man. A ladies man. A man. But what does that mean? To be a man, a modern man. Looking back on my life and where I am today, I noticed all the teachers I had. You know, teachers like the Turtles, like Ice Cube, like Tyler Durden and Vince Vaughn. And that doesn't include my friends, my girlfriends, my dad, my family, my culture, the city I was born in, the city I live in. How do we learn to be a man? How are we taught? Who are our teachers? And even, how do we learn when we don't even know we're learning? This is Modern Man. Okay, let's get some things straight. This season isn't specifically about me. This isn't even specifically about music or movies or cartoons. In this season of Modern Manhood, we'll be exploring and examining over 8 episodes about how men are taught to be quote-unquote men, regardless if they want to or not. More specifically, we're going to examine how gender is formed in different ways. We know that movies, music, and media inform the way that we think about gender, but it's so much more. We'll be exploring growing up as a child and all the potential ways that gender ideas are learned with a lot of different people. Parents, experts who are parents, and many different people in between. And we're also going to explore it with ourselves.
So,
this is Allie.
She's been trying different tactics to get me to tell her the name.
She's about to be a mom.
Since.
And she's telling me a story about becoming a mom and the relationship with her own mom.
I told her I was pregnant pretty much. And the other day she said, trying to remember how she said it. She said, well, can you tell me the name? And I said, no, mom, we're not telling anyone. And she said, well, how am I supposed to pray for her? I'm pretty sure God knows.
Now, this is just one funny story about the pressures Allie felt. But we spoke to so many parents around the globe.
Hi, I'm Rachel and I'm from the UK.
I am Abner. I'm 38. I am from Ecuador.
My name is Jamal Jones and I live in Kitchener, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Lena and I live in Sweden.
My name is Stephanie Butts and I am currently living in Astoria, Queens.
My name is John Butts and I'm recording from Astoria, Queens.
We'll be hearing more from these parents throughout this episode. We'll hear specifically about the pressures and expectations they're feeling. We'll also learn how these expectations have an effect on their children. Because they do have an effect, whether parents know it or not. But more on this after this break. With Pod Power, our sponsors are making it possible to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. So this episode, the Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give Pod Power a shout out to Book Women. Book Women is a podcast about editing, publishing, and writing Indigenous stories. 3 Métis librarians representing nations from across the homeland aim to inspire Indigenous people to share their stories in whatever form that they enjoy. Guests include Indigenous storytellers from diverse mediums like podcasting, burlesque, books, comics, social media, films, music, and everything in between. You can listen and find out more at bookwomenpodcast.ca. That's again, bookwomenpodcast.ca. And now back to Modern Manhood. What if I had a kid? You know, it's a question I ask myself often. This question can quickly morph into anxiety and fear, then turn into expectations and pressures. I understand this so intimately. I'm learning that these expectations aren't created in a vacuum. There's pressure patterns here. And it sounds like parents are aware of this.
There's a certain pressure that we feel that we had. We're not going to know if we're doing the right thing. But above all, yeah, we don't want them to grow up with this judgment or pressure and I have to do the right thing, or you know,
there is obviously like everything from the colors that you buy clothes for kids, or you paint their room, or even the type of feedback you give girls versus boys.
I worry about a lot of things. I think for myself, I worry about just the logistics of being a parent and having to keep it all together. And then the responsibility of raising a person and what type of person they're going to be and making sure that they're kind and hopefully smart and It feels like a lot of pressure.
But these pressure patterns must come from somewhere.
Nowadays, there's so much pressure on parents.
This is Rob Weiskirk.
And there's a lot of anxiety, and things have shifted quite a bit in terms of parenting.
Rob is a professor of human development at CSU Monterey Bay. He has a PhD in human development.
So this idea of the expectations that people have for their children and what their families are going to be like, I think are something that we need to talk about.
He's also a dad.
Now that spring is here, we're spending way more time outside and in the garden and trying to do new things. And my daughter comes along and we know the walls she likes to climb on and jump off and looking at the different houses.
So it's safe to say he knows very well about these pressures and these expectations. But what do these pressures, these expectations look, sound, and feel like? Especially the gendered ones.
And you get all these messages of what a boy and girl should be like. I mean, if you go to the store and go to the baby shop and the kids shop on those sections of the store, you see the messages about gender very clearly.
You see the messages about gender very clearly. So when I heard that for the first time, it really, really smashed my face in. Before a baby may even be born, before the baby is out in this world breathing and crying and laughing, we're seeing. The parents, the family, the friends are all seeing the messages about gender very, very clearly. That means whether we're aware of it or not, there's all these expectations on us to gender our child. And then that must mean, no matter what, once a child is born, there has to be all of these expectations to be one thing, to be someone, to be this type of someone.
I have no idea what the baby is going to be like, but I am so anxious to find out.
This is Stephanie, who you might have heard from the beginning of the episode. She and her husband, John, are expecting their first child.
We do know the sex of the child.
And drumroll, it's going to be a...
We know that we are having a girl.
Here's John talking further about when he and Stephanie found out they were pregnant.
And there's just something that kind of told me that she might be pregnant. Yeah, wasn't planned. Definitely a surprise. But we're both, you know, welcoming the change.
This child may be a surprise, but it hasn't stopped John and Stephanie thinking a lot about how their child will live in this world.
She will be biracial. There's a whole, you know, wealth of possibilities there. She could have a very fair skin. She could present white. She could present black.
I just want her to be who she is, ultimately. And I would feel this way if she was a boy or a girl.
John and Stephanie's child may be a surprise, but it doesn't mean that they haven't started thinking about all the challenges, pressures, and expectations their child will have to live with. Their child will be biracial, and they're already starting to think about how that will affect their child. The child is also female, so they're doing a great job considering how to raise their child in this modern world. So they're thinking about it, and they're aware. But it doesn't mean that they're not getting hit with all these expectations and pressures.
And then all of the accounts that I look at on Instagram are like mom bloggers. And there is such a thing of like hashtag girl mom, hashtag boy mom, as if you're part of some kind of club.
If you listen hard enough, you can hear it in Stephanie's voice.
As if you're part of some kind of club.
Clubs can be a good thing. They can be a group to support you, a group to rely on, a group that has your back, but also a club is a thing that can be exclusionary, a way to feel like an outsider, you know, outside of the club. And especially when it's so gendered, like, you know, hashtag boy mom or hashtag girl mom or whatever gendered hashtags there are. There's a lot of layers of pressures and expectations to fit into some kind of club. Rob explains this a little bit further.
I think all of that has created this atmosphere where parents are both very anxious about expecting and what's going to happen, and also very excited to compare themselves to how everybody is doing on social media. And so it's made parenthood, a lot more challenging.
Here's Stephanie spelling out this experience more.
I think, as we all know, what we present on social media is far from an accurate representation of how our life is. We're only going to post the positive things.
As Rob said, and how Stephanie pointed out, it's like social media has this ability to innately get you to compare yourself to others. As we, even parents, only post these, you know, positive things about your child or your experience. And whether you're in a particular, you know, hashtag club or not, you begin to almost unconsciously compare yourself. Maybe you begin comparing your parenting approach. Maybe you begin comparing the clothes and toys and necessities you're getting for your soon-to-be-born child. And maybe you're just comparing yourself against everyone else. That's a lot of expectations you're putting on yourself. You need to parent the right way. You need to be the right way. And this is all from social media. But what about other ways parents might feel outside pressure and expectations? Here's Stephanie again, talking about some other expectations and pressures she's specifically seeing.
I'm constantly Googling baby things or pregnancy things. All of my targeted ads for the past few months have been baby items.
All these ads have an effect, especially when you have to buy all these things for your baby to live in this world, right? I want to go back to what Rob said earlier.
And you get all these messages of what a boy and girl should be like. I mean, if you go to the store and go to the baby shop and the kids shop on those sections of the store, you see the messages about gender very clearly.
All these messages. But what do all these messages look like, especially in 2021? So I want to know what this sounds like and feels like. So we sent one of our producers, Ramoy Phillip, on a virtual scavenger hunt with Stephanie to find out a little bit more.
Can we see this in the shared screen?
This is Ramoy.
Okay, so this is Target's baby selection.
So what do we have here now? What is like this section?
So we have baby girl clothing, baby boy clothing, baby gender neutral clothing, and baby
here we can start to hear some of these gendered expectations parents may experience when they're aware of it or not.
I'm gonna click on this one. What do we see?
I know that a lot of the things that I've seen will just give you options of either pink or blue. And that kind of goes for a ton of different baby items.
What makes these girl clothes? I guess just the colors?
I guess so. I guess that's how it's defined.
Because like the fit is relatively the same, right? Boys and girls fit, like sizes are all the same.
I don't think that there's any difference in body shape when they're that young. Yeah. The girls was definitely more like fruits and flowers. And I mean, there are animals here, but different animals. Because we've already seen, giraffes, lions. And then the girls, it was like bunnies and kittens.
So it's like, even like the animals are gendered to gender.
Right.
Like I grew up, I always wonder, like, again, like this is like the chicken before the egg. Like my favorite color was always blue, but was it because like as a kid, like blue was just kind of always around. So I almost naturally, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm magically pulled or whatever connected to blue because, again, things were especially in like the 80s and 90s, especially gendered by color and whatever. So I probably saw a lot of blues and associated that whether consciously or unconsciously too.
I know in my house, my brother, his bedroom was painted blue. My bedroom was painted pink. And that's just how it was.
We'll come back to color and gender later on, but I want to share a story. So my nephew, he's 6 years old. He's turning 7 this year. Wow. He's a very bright young man. And one day he came over to my house and went to my office where I keep a yoga mat. And he pointed at it and asked me, "Uncle Herman, do you do yoga?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, some days." And he said, "Yoga's for girls." It honestly took me aback. How did this young person whose parents I know very well and I know would not consciously tell them that yoga is for girls learn this? Well, it starts way before a baby is born.
Well, you know, I think this process starts in utero, right? From the parents, when they first find out if they're going to find out they're having a boy or a girl. But even if they're not, they're bringing all those notions of gender and what it means to be a boy and what it means to be a girl to the child before they're born. Then the child is born, and then you try to enact that, right?
They're bringing all these notions of gender and what it means to be a boy and what it means to be a girl to the child before they're born. So what Rob is saying is before the child is even born, there are expectations swirling around the unborn child, gendered expectations. Here's Rob talking more about how parents are inundated with these expectations.
Once they find out that they're having a child, is they start shaping that image, right? And then if they find out that, you know, what the child's sex is appearing to be, or what the child's sex that's going to be assigned at birth at that time, then they start formulating ideas of what that kid's going to be like. And do all these things happen? Yeah, of course. You know, the painting the room and what that's going to look like can be all the expectations of the parents. And then the wrench in the system is what the kid actually is.
Here's Allie from earlier, talking through some of this.
I do worry about societal influence and pop culture and family members kind of telling the same story that we've all been told our whole lives of what a girl is, and trying to not force her down a path if that's not like her true path.
Parents get these messages of what their child should be like, these gendered messages. Sometimes as parents or even friends and family members, you may see and know these expectations and then perpetuate them on each other. Or maybe you don't see it. Either way, these expectations naturally get perpetuated onto the child. Here's Jamal from earlier talking about how he and his partner have felt these expectations from their family.
My partner and I, we decided to not identify the sex of the baby. So we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And I think that drove a lot of our family a little mad, when it made them a little bit upset, because they wanted to be able to pick out certain things. If it was going to be a boy, they wanted to pick out blue, race car stuff, basketball stuff, and just know that it was going to be a boy. If it was a girl, they wanted to be able to buy little frilly hair stuff and pink and all of that. So, you know, I think that was one of the first times where we felt the pressure of gender when it came to our child, because people wanted to know, and because they wanted to know, they had like this prescription of what they thought it would be and how the things they should buy.
That's a lot for these parents. That's a lot of pressure on anyone. Whether we know it or not, it's unfortunately natural to transfer these gendered expectations onto each other, and then naturally onto children.
And so I think that the challenge for parents is that they bring their ideas of what it means to be a boy or girl, right? Male or female, what does that mean to them?
I know Steph and I have talked about getting her into dance classes at some point, but I dance too, so are we about it over here? It's not really, we don't really think of dance as a gendered thing. I want her to play the drums. How many lady drummers? There's plenty of them out there. You just got to, you know, society not pushing them to the forefront of your consciousness or the zeitgeist.
Again, John and Stephanie are thinking about these things. They're a young couple about to have their first child, and it sounds like they're thinking through everything thoughtfully. They're young progressive parents that are trying to be aware and thoughtful even about the gendered expectations on their child. But here's Rob again, pointing out how it's these gendered expectations are a struggle no matter the level of awareness.
And you have to, when you're going to the store to buy clothes and to buy toys and to really look at the messages that are out there, those views are really antiquated, right? But yet we're stuck with it because you can't buy everything off of, off the internet that is gender positive. And I wish we could. I think there are attempts to make things more inclusive and much broader, but it's still not enough. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on parents, because on one side, you want to support your son or daughter in the way that they are, but at the same time, you don't have a lot of choices in terms of what you can, the clothing that you buy, the activities that you sign them up for, and the toys that they get are still very reinforcing of old-fashioned views of gender.
Rob lays out the pressures for parents out pretty easily.
And so you envision this is what our child's going to be like. It's going to be the best of you and the best of me, and we're going to have this together. And then you get this kid who may be all those things and then more, right? So I always tell parents, you get, you know, the best of you and the best of mom, the best of dad, and then you get everything else that's the gift with purchase, right? You have this child and you get all these other things that come with. And it's those other things that you have to figure out, how does that fit into the world? So do you support that?
This episode is brought to you by Taproot Edmonton, which publishes curiosity-driven stories, topical newsletters, and locally focused podcast, all in the service of informing Edmontonians about their community. So you want to start your day informed? Check out The Pulse, Taproot Edmonton's new daily news briefing. The Pulse tells you what you need to know about Edmonton every weekday morning. You'll get short, informative updates about what's happening at City Hall, plus coverage of business, tech, food, the arts, and more. You also get a little bit of whimsy from features such as A Moment in History, Chart of the Week, and the Friday Podcast Pick. And it's free! Sign up today at taprootedmonton.ca/pulse. That's taprootedmonton.ca/pulse. So, let's pretend we're having a baby. I know, we don't even know each other. I get it. I don't even know your love language, and that's really important to me. But I hope you know that mine is words of affection. And that I love white chocolate and not dark chocolate. Please do not give me any dark chocolate. I'll be really happy with that. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, let's have a baby. There he is. A boy. Are you excited? He's going to have a lot to learn and a lot to grow. And he's going to be our gateway into understanding how a person who is male is made. Let's give him a name. How about Charlie? Charlie's good. It's flexible, it's playful, it's fun, it could be serious. It's a great name. We're going to talk a lot about Charlie. But of course, Charlie doesn't exist. I mean, he does and he doesn't. Charlie is no one in particular, but he is everyone. We're going to try to make Charlie as robust and diverse as possible, introducing many versions of Charlie, many directions that Charlie may take, many choices that he may make. But for right now, the only thing Charlie has to worry about is if he's getting his sleep and his food. Isn't that right, Charlie? I'm excited about this baby. Just like how these parents are excited about their baby as well.
Looking at his or her eyes and seeing them grow. Mm. I'm really excited about that.
What I'm most excited about, is to become a parent, is first of all to see her little face, to hold her. To become a family finally, to see how me and Lena and the little one will grow together as a unit.
I see a vision of the future where, you know, I get a phone call from the school because our kid got up and like taught sex ed.
I'm most excited about seeing a little human, little person, kind of figure out the world and figure out themselves, and I'm interested in seeing how we rub off on the baby and what this baby picks up versus discards at some point. And I'm excited for little tiny cuddles on the weekend, just watching some TV, but I got a little baby resting, or, you know, those little peaceful moments.
Our baby, you know, Charlie, he's going to create his own world. It may be one that's different from ones that we're used to. In the case of gender, it's going to be different. we don't know what will happen, honestly. It's complex, because people are complex. And gender is complex as well. It's not black and white. It's not just male and female. We know this, right? And we will see from the following episodes that our hopes and wishes may be different than what society throws at our child, our little Charlie. But there's no going back. We're having Charlie, whether we like it or not. He's here. He's in our world. But what happens next? During the rest of the season, we'll be exploring what it'll be like for Charlie, episode to episode, growing up, and all the different expectations and socialization practices involving engendering a child.
And so it turned out that, you know, we were having a little boy, and I was actually, you know, I'm embarrassed to admit it now, but kind of disappointed. Just, I guess, because I was so sure I was going to have a girl, but also because I realized I didn't really know what to do with a boy.
Yes, everything is gendered. Everything from socks to diapers to, like, you name it, it is gendered.
There's, like, I just remember being told, you know, like, you can't show your shoulders, you can't show your cleavage, you can't show your body, because if a boy is then, like, tempted, that's your fault. Which that never sat well with me. That was, like, super messed up to me.
We're going to hear from experts, from parents, from boys and girls, from men and women, from people of all genders, to get a glimpse of how the life of Charlie is gendered and how we can help Charlie along the way. I mean, the teachers that I had in the past, the Ninja Turtles, the rappers, Tyler Durden, they taught me one thing: the expectations of what a man should, quote unquote, be like. But I know that's only one way to be, and those teachers were just a small piece of the puzzle. We're excited that you're here. Charlie is excited that you're here. Join us next time as Charlie begins to walk and talk. Mar Manhood cannot be done without the support from you, the supporters of Next Gen Men. If you like what we do, please support Next Gen Men by joining the Next Gen Men membership. All it takes is $5 a month, and you can do it by going to nextgenmen.ca/support. Mar Manhood is produced by Herman Vijegas, Ramoy Phillip, Samantha Nsezi, and Danny Paris, with major support from the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown and community support. Logo's done by Arcade Studios.